and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talked to Susan Ratcliffe, who is one of the organizers of the annual Doors Open Guelph event, which takes place next weekend. This event is one of dozens of similar events across Ontario that celebrates local history and heritage by throwing open the doors to buildings that are typically pretty inaccessible and opening them to the general public. And here in Guelph, there's no shortage of that. There's also no shortage of history and heritage nerds in Guelph who all have their favorites and their bucket lists, so there is always a lot of eagerness when this tour list is announced every year. But how are the sites chosen? Why are they chosen? Why are these buildings on the 2024 tour? We're going to get into all of that because Doors Open is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. According to Doors Open Ontario, the first La Journée Porte Ouverte took place in France in 1984, but it wasn't until the 21st century that the tradition made its way to Toronto, which held the first ever Doors Open event in North America in 2000. The Ontario Heritage Trust started organizing Doors Open events around the province in 2002, and Guelph started doing its own a few years after that, and it's been a regular appointment every April for nearly two decades. Well, almost every April. You might recall that there was a pause in going to strange places 4 years ago with the COVID-19 pandemic. We're still being affected by COVID-19. You might notice that there are still no tours of private homes on this year's Doors Open program, but that doesn't mean there's not some juicy stops on this year's tour for everyone to enjoy. On Saturday, April 27, a dedicated group of community volunteers will be ready to receive you at nearly a dozen different places around Guelph. Starting in downtown, there's dueling city halls, the old building at 59 Carden that's now a provincial courthouse, and the new one at 1 Carden right next to it where it all happens. Just west of there is Heritage Hall, home base of the Guelph Black Heritage Society, and that's a short walk down the street from the Dublin Street United Church, which is marking their sesquicentennial this year. On your way to the ward, you can stop by the Guelph Masonic Center on Chapel Lane, and then head off to the Guelph Little Theater and 404 York Road, which are also steps within each other along York Road. In the north end, there are three provocative stops, nearly all clustered together: the Rapids Side Trail, the Guelph City Greenhouse, and the Mausoleum at Woodlawn Memorial Park. And last but certainly not least, you can blind yourself with science at the Guelph Research and Development Center on Stone Road. So for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast, we're going to be joined by Susan Ratcliffe, Guelph's most knowledgeable, or at least its most famous, history student, who's going to take us through the program and talk about each property, what secrets it holds, why it was chosen, and what you're going to see when you get there. We're also going to discuss how Doors Open Guelph is organized, how the program comes together every year, how pandemic concerns are still impacting what appears, and Ratcliffe's personal favorite pick from this year's lineup. So I caught up with Susan Ratcliffe earlier this week via Zoom. Okay, Susan Ratcliffe, thank you for joining me today.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's get started with I think probably the biggest question about organizing an event like Doors Open, which is, how do you choose what places make the cut every year? Because you only get like 10 or 12. So what factors are you considering and are others considering when you're trying to make up the playlist, I guess, for any Doors Open?
Well, we used to have a criteria that we would have one religious site, minimum of one religious site, one educational site, a business site, and a house. Mm. But we haven't done houses, well, obviously, since the pandemic. And this year, I still think people might be a bit hesitant. Although houses are the most demanded place.
Right.
People want to see inside houses. The second most demanded place is to get inside the OR.
Right.
But we did that once and got 3,000 people, and we've never been allowed again to go in there. So those two are out for now. So this year I wanted to have City Hall because it hasn't been on for a long time, and beside it, the Provincial Offences Court because it makes a nice pair.
Yes.
Because that whole landscape is very early. And the other reason, I guess it's a little bit political, and so you can do with this what you wish. We wanted people to see the bell, the
right.
old bell, that's hidden away now in a place that's not regularly accessible to the public.
Right.
So I wanted to show it to people. And they've also redone the courtyard.
Yeah.
And it hasn't, the City Hall hasn't been on since it opened on 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted people to see around the places they can't get into
right.
anymore. Because there used to be a tour guide at City Hall, and I could just, they would call me and say, come in, and I could just take the group around. But now it's all shut off with security. It really is tightly controlled now.
Is that that
so
they
there's
had,
another.
Sorry, they had tours at the new City Hall, or this was back in the day with the old City Hall?
The new City Hall, when it opened.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because people wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And so there were three or four of us who were asked to just, could we take people on tours if they called us. So I liked doing that. So I did that. But it's amazing how different it's been this year to get in.
Yeah, there has been a difference. I mean, it hasn't always been, like, you know, if you want to go into the atrium area, that's always been pretty accessible. But
yeah.
I mean, there has been an increase in security. There used to be maybe one guy net there, and now there's like three.
Yes, and it's all locked.
Yeah.
And I had to get permission from three different levels of the building too. So,
and
yeah,
it's
no, but it's,
sorry, go ahead.
It's changed inside. It's changed inside from when I used to do the tours before.
Right. All right.
And I
so,
think people should see it.
I'm in that camp too. Absolutely. I don't want to get too lost into City Hall right away, because I do want to ask a couple of general more questions, which is, okay, we talked about sort of what was in demand, houses. I think that's an obvious one, because
yeah.
You know, you can see it from the street, but it's a different. I mean, I remember before the pandemic, and there are houses on the Doors Up with Guelph tour, and it's really neat to go into some of these old houses. But is there like anything, like, maybe just, like, you don't have to name names property wise speaking, but I mean, are there places like you try and stay away from? I mean, maybe this is like a safety concern, or maybe it's kind of like, I don't know, the history doesn't quite jibe with where we are socially now. Like, is there anything like you wouldn't consider putting on a Doors Open tour?
Now that Doors Open used to be under the Arts Council.
Right.
And now it's under the City Museums and Culture Department. So there's more of an emphasis now on accessibility of all sites.
Right.
Which is not always possible if we want to get into those sites.
Right.
So, for example, this year, it's never been on before, the city greenhouses.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been there, but
no.
When I tell people, they say, well, doesn't the city buy stuff from nurseries?
Uh-huh.
No, they raise 200,000 plants a year.
Wow.
To plant in all the gardens and the river boxes, the bridge boxes, and all that. But the greenhouses cannot be accessible because the halls aren't wide enough, or the aisles aren't wide enough between the trays of plants.
Right.
And so the city regulations, I guess, or guidelines ask that I get accessible places.
Right.
So that cuts out some places that I would like to use.
Right.
And some we've had to adapt a bit in order to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a change over the years that I've noticed.
Sure.
So I tried to make that happen.
Has there ever been something where you, as I'll call you an expert on local heritage, where you're like, I'm going to put this on the tour. It is going to slap. People are going to love it. And then people don't love it. Like, has there ever been a, like a bomb on the Doors Open tour?
Well, this is an odd thing to say, but we don't have university sites anymore
Okay.
because very, very few people come, we've found in the past. But the other odd thing is the last Saturday in April, I don't know if you know this, but the university shuts off all the power.
Yeah.
All the buildings are shut down so they can work on it. So
Yeah, that's right.
I've run it the last few years, like before the pandemic, the year of the pandemic, was supposed to have the Griffin football house, which
Right.
is an amazingly beautiful place inside. It's very interesting. And the president's house. But then as well, it got canceled anyway, but the issue was working around that power shutdown. Because in some
Interesting.
places you can't open the doors if there's no power and
No, for
it's
sure.
dark.
Yeah.
And so, and also we just found over the years that we don't get a big turnout for university sites. And I guess because what they call the March, oh shoot, went out of my head. When they have all the animals and people
Oh,
come in
College
and do
Royal.
experiments. College Royal, thank you very much. When I was thinking March Madness, and I knew that was something else.
That's something else.
yeah. So people have been to the university for that just a month before. So there's lots of interesting sites in the university, but and I'd still like to have the Griffin House on, but it's that shutdown. It's a problem.
No, that is interesting
And
'cause
you
like
know.
yeah, there's a lot of really old buildings on campus, like Massey Hall. I mean, and
Yep.
like the
Yep.
University Center, which is all which was a student like union building, like students fundraised to build that for a building of their own, and
Yep.
now it's almost completely taken over by the admin. So
Yeah.
it's an odd one.
So, yeah. No, so I don't, it's not that I'm shutting them out. It's just
Sure.
that the power shutdown is a problem.
Right.
And you know why we do the doors open when we do, right? It's closest to Guelph 20, a birthday,
That's
April
right, yeah.
23rd. And so this year we thought, well, we'll avoid the 22nd because it's Earth Day and there's always the planting stuff. And so that's why we chose that. And we're the first doors open in Ontario every year.
Oh, is that right? Interesting.
Because
All
Doors
right.
Open Ontario has about 30 odd towns involved, and so we're
Right.
always like to say we're the first one.
Well, that is nice. All right, we're gonna go through the sites, and I'm gonna have you kind of, I guess, proctor them. We're gonna do a little sneak preview. So I figured we'd start with like the one that is maybe like most familiar to people in terms of like its historical value, which is Heritage Hall, because that we
Yes.
focused so much on the local Black community, and that is kind of their community headquarters, and so we've come to really kind of understand its importance. But putting Heritage Hall on the list this year, what was the idea there?
The last time it was almost 2017, I think.
Oh wow.
And it's totally changed. Totally changed. With the Freedom Project on the back to make it accessible. They've painted the whole inside. They have that. Have you been in there? Seen the ceramic quilt?
Yes, I was in
It's,
there for Black History Month last year.
yeah, so they have that beautiful, they used to have the actual cloth quilt, the sign markers for
Right.
the Underground Railway. But now they have that, and they have downstairs, they have really interesting displays of artifacts that they found on the property
Oh yeah.
and things that have been donated. Denise Francis from there.
Sure.
She's sort of the manager of the place.
Yep.
And she went out, and when they were doing the addition, she dug in the dirt and found all these pieces that now the museum has identified.
Right.
Glass bottles, whole bottles, and pieces of china and things like that. And then she found some old Bibles in the walls.
Oh,
and
wow.
she's got those on display. So it's really an interesting place in the changes it's made. So I think people, even if they think they've been there before, they would really enjoy it a
So
lot.
if you think you've seen Heritage Hall, think again.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Good. Okay. And this one I wanted to get out of the way early because I think it's kind of provocative because of the reputation of the people who occupy the space, the Guelph Masonic Center on Chapel Lane, which
Oh, yeah.
you can see the sign on Quebec Street there, and may not realize that there's a whole Masonic space on the upper floors there. So, I mean, aside from the obvious, what's the appeal here?
Well, I don't know if you know, but they own the whole building from Knox
Yes.
Church right over to Angel's Donut.
Okay,
They
wow.
own the whole block. The tour guides will be the Masons, and
Okay.
they will tell you the stories of all the symbolism that's in the building. And then you'll be able to see the symbols, like right next door in Knox Church. There are several Masonic symbols in the stone.
Oh,
So
wow.
they're happy to tell all of that. And there's two levels. There's the Masonic temple on the second floor, which is the meeting place of the four Masonic groups in Guelph, the lodges.
Right.
And then the third floor is the Scottish Rite Masons, which is quite different. Quite different in appearance and in practice. And so they'll tell about that. They have a mallet made of a piece of wood from the original priory, John Galt
Oh,
Priory.
wow. Oh, wow.
So, and they have various kind of artifacts like that, which they'll have put out for people to see and talk about.
That's
So,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very enthusiastic. They really like it, and I think we had it on 2015, so it's been quite a while.
Yes,
And
I.
so you'll go in the back. You have to go around the back.
Yeah, it's from
Chapel
Chapel
Lane.
Lane. From Chapel Lane. That's right.
Yeah, and then you can also see the big hole for the new library. Not to change the subject here, Adam, but.
Well, I mean, that's you can see that any day. All right. So we talked a bit about New City Hall. But as you said, it's kind of a pairing on the tour where we're in the provincial courthouse, which is Old City Hall.
Yeah.
And I guess that ties also to the bell, right? Because the bell that's in the courtyard of the New City Hall was the bell that used to be in the chapel
Yes.
that used to sit atop the Old City Hall.
Yes. And the clock.
And the clock, yeah.
The truth, Leanne Caron is still trying to track down the clock. She thinks it's somewhere too. So
I think staff
don't
did
make a
say that
lovely.
they've got it in storage in pieces somewhere, I've heard.
Yeah,
With the Ark
that
of the
shows it's
Covenant
kind
and
of.
yeah.
Yeah. John Galt slept here, yes.
Yeah.
No, the two buildings are really interesting. It's sort of the heart of Guelph history.
Sure.
I guess I should say Guelph settler history,
Yes.
To be correct. But yeah, everything there in the Market Square and the whole story of that too.
Yes.
So I like it, both of them on at once.
Yes, because John
But what
Galt.
we try and do, Adam, is we
Yeah.
try and make nodes of buildings so that, like,
Right.
we have the Masonic Center and those two, and then at the ward, then we have that node, and
Right.
then up on Speedwell and Woolwich, the other two.
Yeah, I did kind of make a note of that these seem to be bunched together or paired together, because next on my list, we have the Guelph Little Theater on Morris Street, And then just down the road from that is 404 York, which is a building that houses NVIDIA, Lost Aviation Coffee, and an art gallery. I guess that's the arts corner of the tour.
Yeah. The little theater, the little theater is the place where it's that I always call growing up with the nosy factor.
Oh,
People
yeah.
say, I wonder what's back there. So they go to the little theater and see the play, but what's down that hallway? So
Right.
we'll be able to go into their huge costume room. Anything you want to dress up in, you could do. And they will allow you to take selfies with it, costumes,
Oh,
a
nice.
few costumes that they'll put out. And then they have a big area at the back where they build the props and remake the props. And so we can see that. And then there is a play on Five Alarm. It starts to Thursday, I think,
Yes.
and or last Thursday. And that will still be on, so people can go on the stage
Oh, yeah.
into the set, and they'll demonstrate some of the sound and lighting effects
Oh,
from.
neat.
And I think it's good because it's all run by volunteers,
Yeah, for
so
sure.
it's promoting what the little theater does and that people can get involved.
And the
So that's
theater.
why.
Sorry, I was just going to say the theater community is also kind of tight-knit too. So, like, they've been through
Yes.
the wars together, as it were.
Yeah. And it's also the theme of Doors Open Ontario this year. They have a theme every year
Oh,
is
yeah.
adaptive reuse.
Oh,
So here's
yeah.
a welding shop that was turned into a theater. So that's an interesting kind of
And
change.
404 York is the same. It used to be a union hall.
Yes, and they made it was a novelty ticket company that made those little tickets you sell and you tear them in half for a draw. It
Right.
that was there too, and did you know Ross Davidson Pilon, who owns the place? He found all these little ticket machines and everything in the floor and places like that when he was renovating the building. So they have, of course, Edvideo, which you know about, and they'll have
Yes.
activities for people,
Okay, neat.
and the Art Gallery of Guelph. They'll have some painting activity.
Okay.
And then at the back is Azure Photography, which is the biggest section. And
Right.
she'll have it set up with different backgrounds. People can take selfies in
Oh,
the
neat.
background. She focuses on photography of children and families. And also, you may not know this, but that
Okay.
building has the most beautiful bathroom in Guelph.
No, I do know that because I was involved with that video for years, so I've used
So
that
you've been in
bathroom.
there. Yeah,
It's yes, it is a work of art. You don't want to go to the bathroom in there. It's so nice. It's
and they said you can go in, see the bathroom, but you can't take a shower at the day of doors open.
that's I think
So,
that's reasonable. Yeah. All right, let's head a little
and
west. Yes, go
can I
ahead.
just tell you that you know that city chose last week to dig up the block in front of 404 York Road.
Yes, I was
So
aware of that.
people can access it from Victoria. The sidewalk is open and they can park in the car lot next door. So
I think you can also
it
get there
is.
via Beverly as well.
Yes, that's right. So even though it looks funny, it because there's big pipes in front of it, it is open and it's fine.
Yeah, if you're not used to York construction by now and know how to navigate around it.
Yeah.
All right, heading back a bit west then, we have Dublin Street United Church. Why put Dublin
They
on here?
requested to be included because it's their 150th birthday.
Ah, of course.
So they wanted people to be able to come in and because they have a lot of memorabilia and artifacts from over the past 150 years. And it's beautiful inside the wood and the stone. And they have an interesting system to change the light bulbs. They have to go up into the ceiling and let this crank down,
Oh,
crank
really?
down this light and change the bulbs and crank it
Oh,
back up
wow.
again. So they're going to show that.
I thought it was a pain in the butt changing the back porch light, because I haven't done that in a month, but
No, and the congregation members who've been there a long time will be helping with the tours.
yeah.
So even the pews have square nails.
Oh yeah.
No?
Okay, neat.
So they're, yeah, so that's a good place.
How often do you take requests?
Oh, sometimes people ask because it's a special anniversary.
Right.
Sometimes it's because they want to showcase changes that they've made.
Okay.
So we take their request and I go and meet with them and see if I think it would be good. So Dubbin Street was certainly wonderful to have on.
Okay, just interested. You mentioned this one too, the city greenhouse. And that's I think you're right. What people think that, just go to Royal City Nursery and get all the plants that go into
Nope.
downtown. But I mean, this is also one of those things where people have probably driven past it a million times and not thought twice about it.
I don't know. I didn't. I myself didn't know it was there. It's above the floral clock,
Right.
where the floral clock is,
Right.
and you'll be parking in the front and going in, and they'll tell you about the history of the floral clock, which is from the 1940, and the theme this year is the Moccasin Identifier Project. So
Okay.
she it won't be planted yet, but she will have the she Andrea Harris is the head gardener, and she'll
Okay.
have the design and some sample plants that they're going to put into the clock for this year. And although the original farmhouse from the 1880s is still there,
Is that
and
right?
it's the we can't with noise going in, it's just offices, but it's offices for city engineers.
Sure.
So we'll tell you the history of the park and the land, and then you'll go through the greenhouse and hear about the greenhouse there. And I've got some guides from the Horticultural Society and the Master Gardeners, because I wouldn't recognize a plant.
No, me neither. Me neither.
How they propagate them, and really, it's fascinating. They regrow them from year to year too,
Oh,
so
yeah.
they keep them the ones that do that kind of stuff. And so you can they'll tell you about how that happens as well. So
Cool,
it's
cool, cool.
really interesting, and I think it's wonderful that they've agreed to be on. You look it up, Adam, on the city website, and it's no mention at all that we own and run the greenhouses. So I was talking to Dave Beaton and said, you need to tell the story. It's so interesting.
All right. There are a couple other sites
Like,
around there too. The Rapid Slide Trail, which is just down the road on Speedvale. And I've noticed this every year and I haven't really asked about it, but like there is a trail. There's an anointed trail every year that goes along with Doors Open.
yes. Well, what I do is when I get my list of sites, I send it to the hiking club,
Okay.
and then they choose an appropriate trail that's close by one of the sec one of the nodes that we use. So because we
Okay.
have the greenhouses and the mausoleum across the road, then Bill Mungo, he organizes Trails Open,
Yep.
and so that's why they chose that section to tell. And
Interesting.
they as soon as a group of people come, they take them on the hike, which is about 15 or 20 minutes. It's not a big hike, and tells you
No.
about the history of that area and everything.
Interesting.
So it's kind of behind Riverside Park a
Right.
little bit.
And it connects to downtown too, so you can hypothetically walk from along the downtown
Yes.
trail and walk up to Speedvale to that trailhead.
Yeah, or spike or a bike.
Or bike.
There's a bike there. And the mausoleum is
I was going there next, yeah.
on, but I don't know if you've been on the cemetery tour, but
I have been on
I
the
don't know if
cemetery
you've ever
tour.
been in there, and they'll
Never.
have a crypt open,
Oh,
no
really?
body, but the crypt, empty crypt.
Okay.
And that's the big, it's like a person size file cabinet drawer. Oh, made of concrete. So they'll tell you about that. Rebecca Kitt, the new director of the cemetery, she's interested in demystifying all of what goes on there.
Yeah, no,
so
that's,
then,
yeah. Sorry,
so
go ahead.
They'll be there to answer questions. And also inside there, they have the organ from the Memorial Garden hockey rink.
Is that right?
And so it was donated there, and they use it for services.
Huh.
And it's also the decor, in the plaster, the moldings, and they'll tell about that too.
Interesting.
And then they'll take people down to the crematorium, which is
oh, really?
And
okay.
underneath. And the crematorium staff will talk about what happens there. For the same
Interesting.
reason, to demystify it. If people don't want to go, then they can go to the mausoleum, and because it's separate, but it's down the stairs, and that's not accessible too, because it's downstairs,
right,
outside, stone steps.
Yeah.
So, I was in there. It's interesting. So you'll see ovens, please don't use the word oven. Take that out of my
yes. Yes.
You'll see the facilities that they have.
Facilities
they
is a good
will,
word. Yeah.
Yes, they will explain the whole process to people who would like to come and ask questions.
Oh, well, that's neat.
So
And
I think.
Yeah. No, that's neat. And I'll just say on the record here, having been on the museum, not the museum tour, the cemetery tour, your cemetery tour at Halloween time, it's a banger. And I hope there's some eager people signing up this year. And I would encourage people to sign up because it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The afternoon in the cemetery.
Well, you know, and it's a park.
Sure.
It's a Trans-Canada Trail.
Yeah.
That people can bike through there.
Yeah.
And they may be afraid to go in. So this is to also say this is a place for the public, and you know the trees are beautiful, and
yeah,
it's
for
an
sure.
interesting place. That's all.
No, 100%. All right, then the last one on the tour this year is down on Stone Road, the Guelph Research and Development Center, which seems a little modern.
Well, it was supposed to be on last year,
uh-huh,
and the day of doors open, we got a phone call because it's federal. They said,
yeah,
we're on strike.
Oh, really?
We can't open. We have the brochure. Oh, no. So they said, could we be on this year?
Okay.
So they're running that tour, and there's, I have to remember exactly, but I think there's between 15 and 20 labs.
Yep.
That are glassed in. Can't go into the labs because of contamination. Because
sure.
They do testing for food contamination, and also testing to develop better agricultural products.
Okay.
So the scientists will be there and their students, university students who help them to explain. And you can see into the lab because it's glass wall.
Right.
But we just can't go in there because they're not sent. It would be dangerous for their experiment. So it's a really interesting place for the scientific aspect of it. And people might not know that this kind of experiment, and this is a Canadian federal government lab. So
right.
I think it's worthwhile opening it up for people to see.
Yeah, and that's another one of those places where, you know, you go past them a lot, drive past them. Like Omafra, that whole stretch along there, aside from the shops, is kind of unknowable unless you're working there.
That's right. So I hope people will go. I know it's a bit out of the way this year, but
yeah,
I hope they will visit it and take children too. They'll have children's
activities
as well in the outside hallway. You kind of go in and go round
okay.
the building It's a round shape with the labs in the middle.
Yes.
So I hope people will go there. I think it will be really interesting.
I concur, and it because it's like kind of there on Stone Road, all alone, it might be missed. Do you have a favorite this year? Is that wrong to ask?
Well, I like the City Hall complex because there's so many stories. So many stories. Have you got time for one little story?
Yes, just enough time.
Well, there's connections between some of the buildings, but the Guelph Little Theater used to put on plays in the 1930s in the upstairs section of the old City Hall, the Provincial Offences Court, which you can see the stage kind of there. But there's a story in their book. They had to time their performances and for the intermission to be at 9:10, because that's when the train went by, which is just 20 feet behind the back window. So the train would go by. That's when they had to have the intermission when they did the plays. And they also, the story also said, the actors were in their dressing rooms were downstairs.
Right.
And that was the same door that the police chief brought the people, the drunks in to
go
in the drunk tank for the night. So the actors would meet the police chief with the drunks coming in the door. So I think that shows like Little Theater's been around since 1935. So
yeah,
that's one of the great places. And then they also had they also were in for a while at the Speedvale Mill.
Mm-hmm.
Right where the fire station is now, and that's part of Riverside Park and the greenhouses.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I thought that's a good connection, you know, between the places.
Yeah.
And then the organ in the mausoleum, because in the City Hall, the new City Hall courtyard, they have a round disc that's where the center ice was in Memorial Gardens.
Right.
So it shows that. So a lot of people, when I took the volunteers for training, one lady just burst out laughing. She said, I spent so many years here in Memorial Gardens, and here's the center ice. And so people like that to see that marker that's in the courtyard of New City Hall. So just those connections make it interesting to tell the story.
No, for
that's
sure.
That's why I like Doors Open. I like people to hear those stories.
So, you know, you're mentioning the trains that are going past, and, you know, we both spend considerable time in the council chambers. I don't know if you've noticed, because of like the higher frequency of the GO train and things, you do know when the train goes by City Hall, when you're sitting there in the middle of a meeting now. So there is, you know, history, I guess, repeats itself for the original gang from the Little Theater and us here today.
You'd like that story, I thought. It was really a good one.
No, it involves City Hall and trains, which is all within my bailiwick. But we'll have to leave it there. Susan Radcliffe, thank you so much for your time and your enthusiasm and your organizing and your history. It's all appreciated.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
And once again, that was Susan Radcliffe. You can take part in Doors Open Guelph at all the locations we discussed on Saturday, April 27th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you can get the full list of locations and addresses at guelph.ca/events/doors-open-guelph or at a paper brochure, which you can find at locations around town. You can also take part in Doors Open After Dark, which takes place the day before. So that's Friday, April the 26th. From 5 p.m. to midnight at the Guelph Civic Museum. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. We hope you liked it. You can download the show every Wednesday from Apple, TuneIn, and Spotify. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you'll get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. You can follow Guelph Politico on social media at Guelph Politico on Twitter and at Politico Guelph on Facebook. You can follow me at Adam A. Donaldson on Twitter and Instagram or send me an email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. If you'd like to help financially support the work of Guelph Politico, you can get all that information at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And finally, for all the latest local political news, you can check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you next week. And until then, we'll see you next time.